producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Guys with earpieces following a few good Republicans and Joe Biden watch in full swing. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Plus, did anybody nail the score? We'll tell you all about it. Right at the top, though, I am the poll princess, Donald Trump, with a new high, high, high in an NBC Washington, or Wall Street Journal, rather, poll. Here's the numbers. This is the way the numbers stack up. Donald Trump, 25%. Ben Carson, 22%. Marco Rubio, 13%. Ted Cruz, 9%. Jeb Bush, 8%. Carly Fiorina, 7%. Huckabee with 3%. Kasich with 3%. Rand Paul disappearing into the night, 2%. Chris Christie with 1%. And then you go all the way down the line, those that have less than 1%. So Trump's support among Republican voters shot up a little bit from 21%. A month ago in the same poll, Carson's support from 20% grew from that, and Fiorina has dropped 11% from 11% last month, for what it's worth. So there you go. What does it mean when you're leading in the polls and you are Trump at 25 and Carson at 22? It means the dudes with suits follow you wherever you go. Secret Service detail now for Ben Carson, who said, I'm a target, and Donald Trump, who's a target. They both have detail that you and I are paying for. So when we say we don't care about polls, who's leading, I think we have to put that aside from now on because they're leading their targets. Carson said, I don't feel the need for it, quite frankly, but the Secret Service thinks I need it. So, you know, it is what it is. I recognize that someone like me is very truthful and who really doesn't subscribe to all the traditional power structures, he says, is probably going to be targeted. And probably the reason why is the threats against Carson were off the charts after he made comments that he doesn't believe a Muslim should be president. So that's been out there salivating for a while. Same thing with Donald Trump. Donald Trump, there was a request for protection that came from Trump. And Carson's campaigns, too, by the way, came from their campaigns because they're private citizens, so they're not required to have it. So now they have it. They've got some people following them around. And as I said, the polls, pretty interesting, but the same story that we've been seeing all along. Joe Biden watch, when I say that, I'll tell you what, in one breath you think he's going to do it, in another breath you think he's not going to do it. It's the biggest game of I'll toy with you until I'm ready to declare that I've ever seen. He makes a lot of headlines. He's getting more coverage than he's ever had, no matter what. For all the gaffes, for all the putting his foot in his mouth, it doesn't matter. His aides have met with the Democratic National Committee. They got a briefing on the rules of entering the race. How about that? And also, Hillary Clinton is trying to put a lot of space between her and Obama, it looks like. So Hillary Clinton's push to distance herself from some of the White House policies maybe gives Joe Biden a little bit of an opening if he wants one, because then he would get his endorsement, right? He's got a super PAC, already has that. The groundwork is there. The polls show that he's at least in the polls. He's polling better than some of the other people who are actually running. He's beating out a few potential Republican nominees. In the states of Ohio, Florida, and Pennsylvania, he beats most Republicans in a head-to-head matchup. And is the Clinton campaign stumbling? These are all questions that are being asked all over the place. Would Joe Biden get the support he needs? You know, and this is the thing that's so wild. His son, there's that story about his late son, Beau, who was riddled with cancer, told him to run before he died. The story was leaked by Biden's team. So it wasn't that somebody else found out and decided to put it out there. They put it out there on purpose. And the reason they put it out there was to test the waters, I'm sure, with him running. There are people that like Joe Biden that are even on the conservative side, believe it or not. I mean, he has friends all over the place in Washington, that's for sure. Some of them are absolutely conservative. Some of them are Republicans of a different variety. And, of course, there are a lot of Democrats that like Joe Biden. But does that mean he gets the nomination for the Democrats? The answer is flip a coin. At this point, he's not in. So it's all the machinations of talking about it over and over again. That's why I said this is the biggest tease ever. The lead up to what? I don't know, the letdown for the people who are hoping that he runs? Maybe. Maybe. Maybe he does it too. Because this is the thing, and I said this before, he knows. If he really wants to be president, if that's really, or have a shot at it, if that's really in his heart, then he's got to do it now. Because when is he going to possibly get in after this? I don't think so. I don't think so. And here's one for you. I'm going to throw this out here. I don't know how many of you ride bikes, but a Washington church is coming up with a kind of an interesting argument. They're fighting against these proposed bike lanes. They're saying, claiming the lanes would violate their constitutional religious right. This was a story in the Washington Post that I read. The United House of Prayer arguing that the addition of a bike lane outside the church infringes on the rights of their religious freedom and equal protections under the law. Supporters say the bike lanes have helped that crazy traffic in that district and make it easier to navigate. The United House of Prayer is about a mile and a half from the Capitol. They say citizens' rights would be infringed because it would be too difficult and way too disruptive for 800 people to find a spot if the lanes were added. But then the Post threw a curveball in saying that the church says that the DDOT lets cars park diagonally on the street during busy times, which would be seemingly impossible if a protected bike lane were on the street. So now the city, the church, advocates all coming together to figure out a solution to the bike lane dilemma. You know what? Bikes are tricky things now for people, and bike lanes. I went to a city council meeting in my neck of the woods, and people were furious about the bike lanes. No bike lanes. Bikers don't have. It's ridiculous. They're taking up the road. They're a catastrophic problem waiting for something to happen. Wow. Anti-bike lane or all about it? This is no Norway, that's for sure. I'll meet you on the flip side.
Atmospheric aluminum, mercury exposure, estrogen toxins from plastics, microwaves from cell phones and smart meters, and low-quality foods all combine to create conditions for the very high incidence of disease in our society. Now more than ever, we all need to be consuming those foods and herbs that epigenetically signal the cells of our body to produce energy, create proteins, and detoxify. When we properly support our bodies, then even in these toxic times, we can promote and achieve excellent health. One World Whey is the first energetically encoded whey protein food derived from Amish pastured cows on the U.S. market. After 3.5 years, we've heard miracles occur for so many people. One World Way has a track record of promoting detoxification, improvement in elimination, and improvements in energy, skin quality, and elimination of inflammation. One World Way is formulated to mirror the macronutrient ratios found in mother's milk. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
Does being over 40 make you feel like half the man you used to be? You feel more tired, out of shape, not in the mood like you used to be? Thanks to an exclusive formula, you can help boost testosterone levels safely and naturally. Introducing Ageless Male, a life-changing supplement for men tested to help increase testosterone levels.
You'll notice a boost in your energy levels. Workouts work. Sex life improves. It's like a light switch goes on.
Try Ageless Male risk-free if you would like to experience what taking Ageless Male can feel like. Support for healthy, normal testosterone levels, healthy energy, and increased performance. And more romance when you want it.
Call 1-800-327-4821. That's 1-800-327-4821. 800-327-4821. 800-327-4821. That's 1-800-327-4821.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Soon. How many of you are Star Wars fans? Have you seen every single Star Wars, the prequels, etc.? There are people that are just wild about Star Wars. In fact, I think most of the guys I know are... I don't have anyone in my family that's not a Star Wars fan, or anyone around me that's not a Star Wars fan in some way. They've at least seen them for sure. And how about this? Months and months and months and months of hype, I guess, are paying off for the Lucasfilm peeps and Disney. The theater chain started offering advanced ticket sales for Star Wars The Force Awakens. It's coming out in 2 months from today, so December 18th. And tons of Star Wars fans, Star Wars fans have rushed to jump up and get the tickets online. They want their seats. So how about that? In fact, it was so crazy, it crashed a lot of platforms, including Fandango, Alamo Drafthouse, AMC Theater. So all the places were crashing because there were so many people all trying to jump on at one time. So if you want to see Star Wars, you might be able to see it on Christmas Day. All the tickets are being bought up across America once people get through again. Patrick E., how about you? Are you a Star Wars fan?
Oh, yeah. Big Star Wars fan.
Which is your favorite Star Wars, though? That's the question.
Ooh.
The very first one, like crazy retro, which seems wild when you watch it now. Mm-hmm. The newer versions of the Star Wars episodes.
You know, I'm not too picky about the... episodes 1 through 3, a lot of people don't like them. I'm, impartial to those. But I think probably my favorite would be episode 4, A New Hope. I can definitely say that's my favorite.
So, New Hope. Who was the main character in New Hope? What were the crazy things in New Hope? I can't remember.
Oh, that's where...
Jar Jar?
No, that was the... I think episode 1. Yeah, episode 1. Yeah, New Hope. That's where... Darth Vader goes onto the ship and kidnaps Leia.
Yes.
And they find the base on, I won't say, or try to say the planet because I'll be wrong. And then these Star Wars nerds will, you know, call the show and be irate and everything.
Exactly. That's good. Okay, yeah, so four. You remember some good details about that. That's good.
Enough, yeah.
And see, the prequel trilogy allowed a lot of new fans to understand the whole Star Wars thing and then want to go and see the ones that they were not even a twinkle in anyone's eye for. And that was part, I think that was part of the brilliance of doing the whole prequel thing for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the original trilogy, The Phantom Menace, that smashed box office records. And the Star Wars movies, I mean, are just, they're just always huge. And there's always a character, whoever the character is that you like, whatever it is, Darth Vader, whether it's the bad guys or the good guys. And I like Star Wars. I can't remember the first time when it came around what I thought, but I know retroactively, and maybe it's because of my nephew, I watched all the Star Wars with him. Yeah, from, you know, the old ones, Empire Strikes Back, to the newer ones, and it was really, really fun to do that. And I think that this will probably, and I could be wrong, but it probably will break all the box office records and be the number one biller for the season. And there have been other movies that have come out that have been huge, like the latest Jurassic was huge. But I still think that this Star Wars will bust it loose. Because you have both the older generation and the younger generation and the younger generation. So it really spans a wild demographic, and they have a much bigger net, I believe, to grab people into. And if they're already, there's the indication. I mean, if you're saying all these movie houses that decide, okay, we're putting these tickets on sale, and what happened is, and it just shows you, Monday Night Football comes on, and there was an advertisement, and it was brilliant, because Disney, think about it, Monday Night Football, ABC, Disney, they put an ad out about Star Wars, and then talk about getting tickets, and then that's what really led the crash to happen. And like I said, it's a stroke of brilliance to do that. The tickets on sale after the trailer came out, so that's what happened. Boom, head for the phones and hurry up and grab up those tickets. And like I said, now the rest of us, anybody who wants to go and see it, wants all that straightened out. You might be looking at Christmas time before you can see Star Wars, probably. And by the way, I want to throw this out. Because we always do the cheap movie reviews, so I'll throw it in here. Goosebumps was the number one movie as far as box office was concerned. R.L. Stine's young adult book series, that's what that's based on. Well, Goosebumps is the series. $23.5 million over the weekend. Wow. $23.5 million. Now, I saw Bridge of Spies, and Bridge of Spies officially $15.4 million, and I think that number probably continues to climb. If you look at The Martian, 21.5, very popular, Matt Damon left on Mars to try to figure out what's going to happen, how can he survive, and then he gets picked up eventually a few years later. That movie definitely struck a chord, and this is, you know, well into a couple weeks into this, so it's made some pretty decent money overall. It's closing in on $150 million, and he probably gets an Oscar nod for, you know, that performance. Interesting. And speaking of performances, if you were going to hand out hardware to performances of the political types, who gets the best performance in your mind for best actor and best supporting actor at this point? I started to think about this today. I started to think about, who seems, it goes to that authenticity scale that I talk about. Who seems the most authentic, and who seems the most plastic? And I'll tell you, I mean, some of the Republicans, it's hard to tell. mean, to me, Ben Carson seems like a nice guy. He's, you know, he's second in the polls. And I get that he's this brilliant surgeon, and some of what he says I agree with, and some I don't. But I don't see this guy as president in any way, shape, or form. What am I missing that perhaps other people are seeing? I don't see that. I also see him fumbling through some terminology like, yeah, I see. And maybe it's just the way he talks. But I'm not sure. I think he's gotten stronger than when he first jumped into the race, but I do not see him as presidential. You know, I said this a long time ago. What is it that you think really defines a president? What is it you would look for in a president that you think would make them good at their job? And I've said before, someone who's authentic, someone who has a backbone. So if they're going to have to stand up for what they believe in, so what, so be it. They're going to be on the wrong side of their own party, whatever it is. But they have reasons for what they believe, and they know they have to work with Congress if they want to get some things done. And can they work with Congress and find the right kind of compromise without selling the store, not being ridiculous? And that means having a backbone, but also being authentic. It's a tricky tight wire you would walk. But you know, Reagan had friends on both sides of the aisle. Clinton had sides, had lots of sides, had sides, had friends on both sides of the aisle. There are certainly presidents who have had friends whose ideology are completely different than their own. Which I also think makes a better president. Not somebody ridiculous, not somebody trying to twist you in the wind, but legitimately somebody you respect who is completely opposite of your train of thought, so at least you can bounce ideas off and have that conversation. It's not Ben Carson, but people like Ben Carson. He's found a thread, or he wouldn't be higher than the rest of the pack. Think about that. It does show that people want somebody who's not, at least on the Republican side, somebody who's not a politician, a career politician. Because Trump or Carson, they're not in that game. And then for a while, when Carly Fiorini jumped up, she's a businesswoman. So the senators, congresspeople, they're not getting the numbers in the polling. Will they get the numbers in the booth? I think not. It's certainly not slanting in that direction. Coming up, we're going to introduce you in our weekly re-rack to an incredibly courageous man. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Rick Ossick with Famous Footwear. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies? That's why we support the March of Dimes in the fight against premature birth. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment programs, and outreach to help moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Learn how you can help save babies' lives at marchofdimes.org.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. you can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
The legendary Dr. Joe Wallach, heard on Alex Jones, George Norrie, Benny Hinn, and so many more, is on his 90 for Life tour, and you can see him live and in person Monday, October 26, 6:30 p.m. at the Unity Village, 1901 Northwest Blue Parkway, Unity Village, Missouri. Don't miss this incredible event. Call 615-389-7733 to reserve your seats today. That's 615-389-7733.
We are the inscription invisible on the hero's memorial. Locked in cerebral manacles, we rattle our brains. Unhinged intellect, how do you embalm a phantom?
Welcome back to America Tonight. Very pleased to welcome to this show somebody who fought so hard for human rights and saw so many atrocities. And I think you know his name. He's very, very well known for some of the wonderful things that he's done since that time. But he's the UN force commander for Rwanda. Romeo Dallaire joins us now. General, it is such a pleasure to have you on this show. And so many people have now talked about Rwanda and how come more wasn't done and how come more people didn't pay attention and what was the United States' role in what happened. And you wrote two best-selling books, Shake Hands with the Devil, and They Fought Like Soldiers, They Die Like Children. And, you know, you're working on a book about post-traumatic stress disorder. For you, when you stepped, if we take you back there, when we stepped back to Rwanda, did you realize what you were going to encounter with your peacekeeping forces?
That's an absolutely outstanding question to ask. You sort of say, if I did, what kind of a nutball would want to go into something so horrific as that? There was in the UN at the time, an explosion of peacekeeping missions. Remember, the Cold War ended not long before that, and we had the Gulf War, yes, but everybody was expecting. In fact, George Bush Sr. said that we were entering a new world order. Remember, people were talking about peace dividend, and we don't need militaries anymore, and the whole world's going to be nice, and all that kind of stuff. Well, all of a sudden, all these civil wars and imploding nations and failing states started to appear where they were trying to get rid of dictators and trying to bring democracy and all kinds of stuff like this and human rights and the like. And so at the UN headquarters, they went from, you know, four or five long-standing, reasonably cheesy Chapter 6 missions of observing conflicts that had been resolved for a long time but needed a referee to keep it going. We exploded into 15 to 16 missions in a matter of less than a year. And so Rwanda was a really small little project. They had been having problems in Cambodia. They had been problems in Vietnam by then. Actually, Yugoslavia. And so they were hoping that this would be a success story so that they could re-encourage people to continue to support peacekeeping. And so I was to do it on the cheap. People thought that we'd be able to pull it off and that people really wanted peace. And what really suckered us in was the fact that that over-optimistic demand of the UN to try to get something positive on the books completely, ignored, I would even go as far as to say, the fact that there was strong extremism on the side of one of the ethnic groups, the ones in power, that they were not, in the end, ever going to reconcile with these other ethnic groups, and they did not want to share power. And then the whole thing went to hell.
And, you know, and obviously you saw, as I mentioned before, there's no great way to describe it, just so many bodies, so much atrocity, so much murder, just a horrific scene. But one thing that isn't talked about very much, there was actually hundreds of thousands of people, am I right, that were saved?
Well, the way it worked out was is that in fact, it's working out still today when you see Iraq and Syria so on. The civilian population are now both the targets and the prize in civil wars. And so each side will try to maneuver as much as it can of the population for its own power base and negotiating base for the future. And so the extremists were moved just under 4 million people and culled them of the other ethnic group, the Tutsis, as they were doing it. So they slaughtered 800,000 as they moved 4 million and left about another close to a million injured or sick because of HIV/AIDS and so on along the way. So that massive movement happened. Where we were able to intervene was the fact that they wanted them all outside of the country, in the periphery, like in the Congo and Tanzania, so that they would negotiate their return. They wanted a scorched earth for the rebels by actually moving the population completely. Well, we were able to prevent 1.6 million from actually leaving the country by proving that we could protect them. But the real in-your-face protection happened around the capital, where we were able, you know, on five sites, to protect 32,000 who were in immediate danger of being slaughtered. In fact, one contingent withdrew before it got orders to do so from us, but its country told them to pull out. And about 4,000 were slaughtered in a matter of hours.
Wow. So then you come back from what happens in Rwanda, and eventually people are certainly seeking you out, wanting to know what happened. All of that is more is revealed. But you're dealing with the post-traumatic, you know, stress of it all. And now we talk about that term a lot more. But when you had the post-traumatic stress, it wasn't discussed as much. How difficult, obviously, was that for you to process all of what you had seen?
Well, I had already, the war had ended on the 18th of July, and it was essentially the population was completely destabilized. I mean, there were bodies all over the place and so on, but the actual fighting had ended, so it was time for people to come back. And I, at that time, had completely burned myself out to the extent where I had asked to be relieved because I was becoming a liability to my mission. I just couldn't handle all these people coming back and complaining that the place was a mess. They were still finding bodies after we had ran out of food, water, medical supplies. We ran out of ammunition. So I sort of broke down and asked to be relieved, and then went back to Canada and was made deputy commander of the Canadian Army at a time of massive budget cuts. You guys were going through the same things in the States. General Sullivan was doing miracles there in the States with the U.S. Army. And at that time, the word was, you know, welcome back to the real world. There's lots of work to be done here. And with time and hard work, all this will disappear from your mind. That was the theory of the time, which in fact was exactly the contrary to trying to heal this wound, because post-traumatic stress disorder is what we call an operational stress injury. We even use it now with our first responders in Canada. And so it's an honorable injury between the 2 years that has both physical and psychological impact, of course. Physical meaning the brain, some of the circuitry gets shot to hell. But in this sort of process, I knew there was something wrong because of not sleeping and all of the horrors were coming back. But didn't realize that this was an injury, and it took some pretty significant events that made me all of a sudden be quite conscious that I needed some real serious help. And the system at the time was not structured. We didn't have Vietnam like you had, where you had so many psychological casualties. And so nobody knew exactly what to do with this. And so we were getting suicides by the barrelful. And so I went public as a general, still serving, that I was injured, that I felt there's a whole bunch of walking wounded amongst us. And because of these ethical and moral and legal dilemmas we face in these complex and ambiguous missions that are given to us, that if we don't do something, we're going to continue to see guys, mostly guys and some girls, yes, killing themselves, destroying their families, beating up their wives and kids, into drugs, booze, and God knows what else. And so by going public, it took nearly 3 years to bring that about. I went to the United States to White River Junction in Vermont, where you have a huge clinic there on PTSD. And the head of it is a Dr. Matthew Friedman, an extraordinary guy. His wife was a nurse in a MASH in Vietnam. And I said, listen, we got nothing. We need your help. And can you help us? And he said, we're going to help you because we don't want you to go through what we went through in Vietnam. And I said, what was that? He said, the Vietnam War by then had been over for 22 years. He said that there are over 58,000 names on that magnificent monument in Washington. But they had on their books at the time, those were only the ones registered, on their books over 102,000 suicides. Directly related to Vietnam. So what you guys are feeling now and what we're feeling with Iraq on suicide and so on is still, it's not the tip of the iceberg, a reality that these wars keep killing. And these injuries, like operational stress injury, can be terminal. And so that's a dimension that we're still fighting very strong here to get people to realize.
We're speaking with former UN Force Commander for Rwanda, Romeo Dallaire, and we'll continue with this conversation in just a minute on America Tonight.
Don't complain. complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Hi everyone, I'm Pharmacist Ben, nutritional pharmacist and host of The Bright Side. The good news about nutrition and health. The good news that if you or someone you care about is on a prescription drug or has some kind of health challenge, there's a gentle, natural, healthy way to address most health issues without drugs and without doctors. And it's as simple as understanding how the parts of the body work and how they interact with the foods we eat and the nutrients we take in. If you've heard me on The Bright Side or at one of my presentations, you know I'm a man on a mission. A mission to help you understand health and wellness and the remarkable healing powers of the biological system called the human body. And if you like The Bright Side, you're going to love my new website, brightsideben.com. You'll find articles and links. You'll be able to access archives, and we'll even have exclusive information that you won't hear on the radio show. And of course, you can purchase the Longevity nutritional supplements and even sign up to join my Longevity team and make an impact, make a difference, and maybe make some money too. Check out brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com or call 866-735-2470 for more information.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
With UN Force Commander for Rwanda, Romeo Dallaire. We're talking about some really important things. So many of you out there that have called us who have served in former wars and know what post-traumatic stress syndrome is like. We're talking about that. And General, one of the things that you talk about, and boy, we talk about a lot on this show, and I know there are lots of other people that try to peel back the cover on this or take those layers down, whatever is the great terminology to put it. But why is it that we see, and maybe I'm answering my own question, but it seems that governments certainly rank economic and political interest way above humanity, because we see that there are many other atrocities happening in the world and not enough people to move the mountains to help those folks. When you see that in other lands, how disturbing is that to you?
You live a constant frustration of knowing that that a conflict went catastrophic, that was preventable, but what was not in fact prevented. Because of self-interest, because it wasn't on somebody's radar screen, because there were no resources and the only thing that was there were human beings. And as in Rwanda, I was told by one country, you know, we're not coming in to give you any resources because the only thing that's here are human beings, and there are too many anyways, it's overpopulated. So the human being is still, in too many cases, the lowest common denominator. And we become all excited when we see a sort of incident happen, like with the Syrian refugees. I'm just back from Jordan from my work with child soldiers in the refugee camps. And so you get this child, the picture of the child that drowned, and the media go absolutely, totally committed to it. And then all of a sudden we get the emotional, spontaneous responses from governments to a problem that 4 years ago, if we had intervened properly under responsibility to protect, we could have avoided this thing from happening in the first place. So I think that we are now at a time where we are more culpable of ineptness and lack of statesmanship and sense of humanity than we were in the early 90s when we were stumbling into this whole new realm of imploding nations and failing states and civil wars. And so the reason I hold people more culpable is that we do have tools that we finally have adjusted from our experiences in certain conflicts, plus the introduction of the concept of responsibility to protect that says if a country is massively abusing the human rights of its people, we have a responsibility to go in and protect the people. Not do a regime change, not go away and blow away Gaddafi, but in fact protect these people and prevent them from, in fact, being martyred by the government and find other options for the government to play with. Well, we don't want to operationalize it. We don't want to take casualties. We don't want to get suckered into these problems. And so if the developed countries, and I hold very much the middle powers, the Germanys, the Canadas, the Japans, the ones who've got a lot of capability but are sitting on their hands waiting for you guys, the United States, to get set up, to be hauled into these things, and then be held accountable for if things don't go well enough. Until these people start reacting in a humanitarian fashion that does reflect a responsibility to protect, because in the end, there isn't a conflict in the world that's not going to affect us by home, by pandemics out of the refugee camps, by extremism, and terrorism is going to come out of the rage of a lot of these people in these displaced camps and so on, by the not having the availability of the special resources like coltan, you know, in the Congo as an example, and by influencing our diasporas back home, who are still locked in and get suckered into different things. And look at the recruitment that's going on even on the radicalization of our youth with ISIS. So we are myopic in our look at what conflict is overseas, because we're still looking at it with lenses of 50 years ago, where in fact anything that goes on overseas is only about 12 hours from a sophisticated bus ride in a plane.
Yeah, to put it that way, boy, it really puts it into perspective. I'd be remiss not to, I know that you're passionate about this. You're a big advocate for ending the use of child soldiers. You just mentioned what we see that's happening with younger people as far as ISIS. But soldiers themselves, turning children into soldiers, and you've started an initiative for that that's very personal. Tell us about it.
What I did is in 2004, I had been medically released from the forces and had been working on war-affected children in the international development side of the house. I got a fellowship at Harvard at the Carr Center for Human Rights Policy at the Kennedy School and did a research paper on child soldiers because I wanted to prove that the slaughter of the 800,000 in Rwanda was done mostly by young people who had been suckered in by a political group that had shifted them from being a youth movement into a militia, and a vicious militia. And so since then, I've built a program. It's now at Dalhousie University in Halifax, Nova Scotia, where we're based out of, where we go in prevention of the recruitment of child soldiers. We're not into rehabilitation, reintegration. That's picking up the pieces of those that do survive. Many of them don't. And so what we do is we're into countries, at the invitation of the countries. We go into their the school system and with pedagogical tools like local comic books built by ex-child soldiers and so on. And we teach the kids not to get suckered in, and we influence the parents to protect them in a different way than before. And on the second side, which is now the more dynamic one, is we train military and police in how to de-escalate confrontations with child soldiers, and in fact, how to be able to neutralize them as a weapon system on the battlefield and make them a liability for those who want to recruit them. So we've recently produced, in fact, the standing operating procedures for NATO, where we'll be training commands and so on. The African Union has asked us to do the same for them. We are engaged in countries from Colombia right through, soon we'll be going to Myanmar, helping them prevent the recruitment of children, and in so doing, not only preventing their effectiveness by other means than simply killing them, which is in all, everybody's doctrine now, they just treat them as another belligerent. We've offered them a whole new doctrinal framework that that they can use and tactics to be used. But we also are into the business of influencing the thinking of those countries in regards to wanting to use children as weapons of war.
Wow. Romeo Dallaire, thanks for all you do to make the world a better place. And if anybody wants to help, what would you tell them?
Go to childsoldiers.org.
Childsoldiers.org. Thanks, Romeo. Thank you so much.
All the best to you.
Wow, what a treat to get a chance to speak to this incredible man, Dallaire, and what he witnessed. And if you watch the movie Hotel Rwanda, and it's a movie, but the movie does do an incredible portrayal of what he saw. And he is heavily featured in that. Of course, he's played by the actor Nick Nolte, who, you know, you think about it, he was the acting Canadian colonel sent to oversee the UN forces in Rwanda, and then stumbled upon some of the most horrific things one could ever see, is what we described. We know the numbers are crazy. He mentioned them. More than 800,000 Rwandans were killed in the genocide. And there was pleading and begging, including the general himself, for more troops and help. And they didn't come. They didn't come until it was much too late. And finally it all ended. But boy, what happened in between was just unbelievable, unspeakable horrors. So stay with us. Much more coming your way on America Tonight.
Most of us already know that taking a fish oil supplement to boost omega-3s is a good idea. But did you know that about 60% of Americans are actually deficient in omega-3s? Did you know that most fish oil products contain only about 25% omega-3s and the remaining 75% is undesirable fish fat? Heck, did you know that more than 90% of fish oil supplements sold in the USA are not even made here? If you want to boost your omega-3s using the finest American-made fish oil, check out Nutrigold Fish Oil Supplements on www.fishoil.best. Nutrigold fish oils are independently 5-star certified and guaranteed to be exceptionally pure. That means no more fish burps. Best of all, just one Nutrigold fish oil capsule contains more omega-3s than 4 standard fish oil capsules. Go to www.fishoil.best or call 888-920-1497 and use promo code BESTFISHOIL to get a free 1-month supply. That's www.fishoil.best or call 888-920-1497.